Welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some very unusual and hopefully very interesting topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all over the world on many different topics. The program provides a timeout from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era, or even pique your interest, such as this particular article. Breakthrough anti-aging drug restores knee cartilage, reducing the need for knee replacements. Exciting breakthroughs in medical research are shining a light on the possibility of rejuvenating cartilage in aging joints. A recent study led by Stanford Medicine has unveiled a remarkable treatment that blocks the activity of a specific protein, reversing cartilage loss in the older mice. The innovative approach not only rejuvenates the knee joints, but also promises in preventing arthritis following common injuries like ACL tears, which are often sustained by athletes and fitness enthusiasts alike. The research team is optimistic about the future, as an oral version of this treatment is already undergoing clinical trials aimed at combating age-related muscle weakness. In a delightful twist, samples of human knee tissue from patients who underwent replacement surgeries responded positively to the treatment, generating new functional cartilage. This groundbreaking development suggests that traditional knee and hip replacements may one day be a thing of the past. The treatment zeroes in on the root cause of osteoarthritis, a degenerative joint disease affecting many adults in the United States, with significant healthcare costs associated with it. Until now, the lack of effective medication to treat the underlying issues of the cartilage loss has posed a challenge. However, this new Geozyme inhibitor, which targets the protein 15-PGDH, shows incredible potential for revitalizing joint health. As it turns out, 15-PGDH is a key regulator of aging, and its levels increases as we grow older. The protein has been linked to the decline in muscle strength and tissue function. By inhibiting 15-PGDH with a small molecule, researchers have noted improvements in muscle mass and endurance in older mice. In a fascinating twist, when younger mice were exposed to 15-PGDH, their muscles weakened, illustrating the protein's significant role in age-related changes. The study reveals a new pathway for regenerating adult tissue, particularly cartilage, without the involvement of stem cells. Helen Blau, Ph.D., a professor of microbiology and immunology, expressed her excitement about findings and highlighting their potential for treatment arthritis due to aging or injury. Her colleague, Nidhi Bhutani, Ph.D., echoed the same sentiment, noting that the millions of individuals face joint pain as they age. This treatment could address a critical unmet need. Cartilage plays a vital role in our joints, providing smooth surfaces for flexibility and movement. However, factors like aging, injury, or obesity can lead to osteoarthritis characterized by inflammation and the breakdown of collagen, resulting in pain and swelling. The remarkable aspect of the research is the discovery of the treatment can significantly regenerate cartilage, an outcome previously unseen with other drugs or intervention. The researchers conducted experiments by injecting older mice with the 15-PGDH inhibitor, both systematically and directly into the joints. The results were astonishing. The cartilage in the knees of the older mice thickened, indicating a rejuvenation process that surprised the team. Furthermore, animals with knee injuries showed reduced chances of developing osteoarthritis following treatment, along with improved mobility. As the study progressed, the researchers found that the small increase in prostaglandin E2, previously linked to inflammation, could actually promote regeneration at normal biological levels. The insight is paving the way for deeper understanding of joint health and regeneration. A closer examination of the chondrocytes from both young and old mice revealed a striking difference. Older chondrocytes exhibited more detrimental genes linked to inflammation and cartilage degradation. However, the treatment with the 15-PGDH inhibitor led to a reduction in these harmful gene expressions and began the process of cartilage regeneration. The implication of the research is vast, with early clinical trials showing the treatment's safety and efficacy in muscle regeneration. There is hope for similar trials to explore its effects on cartilage. Blau expressed her enthusiasm for the potential of the breakthrough, envisioning a future where individuals can regenerate their own cartilage and potentially avoid joint replacements altogether. The inspiring research provides a glimpse into the brighter future for those suffering from joint issues. Sharing these uplifting results could spark hope and excitement among friends and family dealing with knee problems, opening the doors to new possibilities for healing and for health. The article, Breakthrough Anti-Aging Drug Restores Knee Cartilage, Reducing the Need for Knee Replacement. Our next article, Brave Neighbor Saves 85-Year-Old Woman from House Fire with a Sledgehammer. In a heartwarming display of courage and community spirit, a kind neighbor in Arlington Heights, Illinois, has celebrated for his heroic act of bravery. This incredible story unfolded February 3rd when a house caught fire, leaving two elderly residents in a perilous situation. Inside the home, an elderly couple faced a desperate challenge. While a 90-year-old man managed to escape the flames, he was determined to return for his beloved 85-year-old wife, who was unable to leave due to her wheelchair. Concerned neighbors witnessed the man struggle and quickly realized that the situation was too dangerous for him to attempt any kind of rescue. Just when hope seemed dim, an unidentified neighbor stepped forward with a sledgehammer ready to help. With unwavering resolve, he used the tool to break down the door, making a brave entrance into a burning building. Thanks to his swift action, he was able to carry the woman to safety, emerging from the home with her in his arms. The three of them were taken to the hospital, where they received care and were later discharged safe and sound. The Arlington Heights Fire Department recognized the significance of the event, emphasizing the importance of quick thinking in emergencies. We want to recognize and commend the quick thinking and decisive action taken by one of our Arlington Heights residents that helped save the life of these people, officials said. They also highlighted how critical every second can be in such a situation and expressed gratitude for community members who step in to assist when first responders are on their way. This story serves as a reminder of the strength of community bonds and the heroic potential that resides within all of us. We celebrate this remarkable neighbor whose timely intervention made a profound difference in the lives of other people. Our next article by Maya Young, Six Planets Line Up for a Rare Parade Throughout February. Space enthusiasts are in for a treat at the end of the month, as six planets will appear close together in the night sky. The phenomenon known as a planet parade or planetary alignment occurs when at least four or five planets can be seen all together, according to NASA. On the 28th of February, stargazers will have the chance to spot Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune aligned closely across the sky, making this a rare planetary display. Why do planetary parades occur? Well, they happen because the planets orbit the sun in roughly the same flat plane known as the ecliptic plane. Although each planet travels at a different speed and distance, there are times when several of them appear to line up from Earth's perspective. The alignment is purely a visual effect, since in reality the planets remain anywhere from millions to billions of kilometers apart. Has this happened before? Yes. On the 27th of February in 2025, seven planets, including Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, lined up in a rare display that will not be seen again until 2040. At the time of the alignment, Greg Brown, an astronomer at the Royal Observatory, Greenwich, told the media, groups of three, four, or even five planets being visible aren't uncommon, regularly appearing throughout each year. But the more planets are involved, the more things need to be aligned to be visible at once. This makes full seven-planet parades rarely seen. Which planets will I be able to see with the naked eye? Well, according to NASA, multi-planet viewing opportunities can last from weeks to more than a month, as planetary movements are slow and gradual. Some people can view the alignments as early as this weekend, but what makes 28 February particularly notable is that the planets will be mostly tightly grouped, and multiple planets can be seen together in the evening sky. Four planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, will be visible to the naked eye. Uranus, Neptune, however, will require binoculars or a telescope as they orbit in the cold, distant outer regions of the solar system. Mercury may be occasionally difficult to spot during its low position near the horizon. When will the best time to see the planetary parade be? The optimal time to view the alignment will be about 30 minutes after local sunset, with StarWalk recommending viewers to look low on the western sky, ideally with an unobstructed view and clear weather conditions. NASA explains that for a planet to be visible without any optical aid, it should be at least a few degrees above the horizon, with 10 degrees or higher being the best. This is crucial because Earth's atmosphere near the ground dims celestial objects as they rise or set, NASA said. Even bright planets become difficult or impossible to spot when they're in low or too low areas, as their light gets scattered and absorbed on its path to your eye. Where can I view the planetary parade? The alignment will be visible to people all around the world, but because February 28th is a median date, viewers in different parts of the world may be able to see the parade a few days before or after that date. According to StarWalk, the best view will be on the 25th of February for Sao Paulo, 28th of February for Athens, New York, Mexico City, and Tokyo, the 1st of March for Beijing, Berlin, London, and Mumbai, and the 2nd of March for Reykjavik. This article, written by Maya Yang, six planets line up for rare parade throughout February. Our next article announces an unusual postal stamp. U.S. Postal Service showcases new lowriders. The U.S. Postal Service will issue lowriders a set of new commemorative postage stamps. The first day of issuance outdoor event is free and open to the public. News of the stamps is being shared with hashtag LowRidersStamp. Gary Barksdale, Chief Postal Inspector on the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, will serve as the dedicating official on Friday, March 13, 2026, at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time at the Logan Heights Library, 567 South 28th Street in San Diego. Attendees are encouraged to register to attend the event. That place where you can register is https://www.usps.com/lowriders stamps. Low and slow, that's the lowrider. When in motion, these customized automobiles appear to glide over the road surface, only to suddenly levitate and bounce up and down. These new stamps celebrate the lowrider culture that is rooted in the 1940s-era working-class Mexican-American Chicano communities throughout the American Southwest. Lowriders are viewed as rolling canvases of stylized art meant to be displayed in public spaces. The stamps feature photographs of five different lowriders, richly adorned with dazzling paint jobs, luxurious interiors, and customized to hop, bounce, and cruise over the road surface. The five models that grace the stamps are a blue 1958 Chevrolet Impala named Eight Figures, an orange 1964 Chevrolet Impala named the Golden Rose, a green 1987 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme named Pocket Change, a blue 1946 Chevrolet Fleetline named Let the Good Times Roll, Soy Como Soy, and a red 1963 Chevrolet Impala named El Rey. Antonio Alcala, an art director for the United States Postal Service, designed the stamps using existing photographs by Umberto Beto Mendoza, and he did the eight figures, El Rey and the Golden Rose, and Philip Gordon, who did Let the Good Times Roll, Soy Como Soy, and Pocket Change. Danny Alvarado added the pinstripe being on all of the stamps. The Lowrider stamps will be issued in panes of 15. As Forever stamps, they will always be equal in value to the current first-class mail 1-ounce price. This article, U.S. Postal Service showcases new Lowrider stamps. Akshay Sayal, M.D., wrote, Brain Train Game may help protect against dementia for up to 20 years. A large long-term study found that playing a brain training video game may help protect the brain against dementia for decades. Experts say the findings are the strongest evidence yet that cognitive training can create lasting changes within the brain. It's very surprising, said Marilyn Albert, director of the Johns Hopkins Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. It's not at all what I would have expected. The research, published Monday in the journal Alzheimer's and Dementia, Translational Research and Clinical Intervention, was a long-term study follow-up by the Advanced Cognitive Training for Independent and Vitally Elderly. That organization is known as ACTIVE. Specifically, participants who did up to 23 years of specific types of cognitive training called speed training over a three-year period were found to have a dynamic and drastic and dramatic 25% lower risk of developing Alzheimer's and other dementias over a 20-year follow-up period. The ACTIVE study is a large randomized control study funded by the National Institutes of Health that enrolled nearly 3,000 participants ages 65 and older. Participants were from six different geographical areas and did not have any significant prior cognitive impairment. Roughly 25% of the patients were minorities and a majority were women. Women are especially vulnerable to Alzheimer's, developing dementia as nearly twice the rate of men. Study participants were initially signed to do up to 10 sessions of training twice a week for 60 to 70 minutes per session over 5 weeks. Approximately half of the participants in each training group got additional booster training for up to 23 hours over a three-year period. Researchers then tracked medical records through Medicare to determine which participants were diagnosed with dementia over the 20-year follow-up period. Different forms of dementia, including Alzheimer's, vascular dementia, and frontotemporal dementia, were all grouped into a single category. The participants who did speed training and received the booster sessions were found to have 25% reduction in the risk of dementia diagnoses compared with the control group. Those without additional sessions did not see a benefit. It builds on the concept that relatively small amounts of effort can really pay dividends for decades to come, said Dr. Richard Isaacson. Dr. Thomas Wisniewski, a director of cognitive neurology at NYU Langone Health, called the study results astonishing, adding that this is the strongest evidence to date that he has seen supporting the use of cognitive training. It's really the first clear documentation in a randomized controlled trial that at least some of the cognitive training can lower the risk of dementia. Study participants were separated into one of three cognitive training programs, speed training, memory training, or reasoning training. There was also a control group that did not receive any form of cognitive training. Speed training was designed to teach the brain to process visual information more quickly and accurately, said Dr. Sanjula Singh, a physician's assistant and instructor in neurology at Harvard Medical School. In the speed training, which emphasized visual perception, individuals were asked to identify objects on a screen quickly and make a decision about them. It's a similar thought process to what happens when we drive, said Albert. If we're driving in a car and we have all these things going on the periphery that we're paying attention to, we have to decide what's important and what is not. In memory training, participants were taught strategies for remembering lists of words and details of stories. For example, participants were taught to form mental images and associations to help recall words. In reasoning training, study participants worked on the ability to solve problems that follow a serial pattern, like identifying the pattern in a letter or number series. Those in the memory and reasoning training did not see any protective effect against dementia. While the researchers don't know for sure why speed training showed a benefit while the other forms did not, one possibility lies in the difference between implicit and explicit learning. Implicit learning involves learning on an unconscious habit or skill, such as riding a bike. Explicit learning, on the other hand, deals with the conscious learning of facts, such as learning a vocabulary off of a flashcard. We know that the impact and implicit learning is completely different from explicit learning and uses different parts of the brain. Once the brain rewires for these skills, the change is durable, even without continued practice, said Singh. A child can learn how to ride a bike in about 10 hours, and afterwards that learning lasts a lifetime. Speed training is thought to be similar, said Albert, and may cause long-lasting changes in the brain. This is often referred to as neuroplasticity, or the brain's ability to adapt and rewire itself in response to learning throughout our lives. Dr. Kellyanne Niotis, a preventive neurologist and clinical assistant professor of neurology at Weill Cornell Medicine, said that the speed training may also have greater effects on something called cognitive reserve. Cognitive reserve is the ability of a healthy brain to resist the effects of developing dementia. It is built over time through factors like education, mentally stimulating activities, and even social engagement. I think it is this visual processing speed-based training that may be engaging broader neuronal networks that are actually building more brain resilience or more cognitive reserve. Another theory as to why speed training may work better is that it was adaptive, said Albert, meaning that it is difficult to change based on how well somebody performed. This means that people were faster at the start, moved to even faster challenges quickly, something that was not seen in other forms of training. How to lower the risk of dementia? An estimated 7 million people in the United States are living with Alzheimer's disease, with that expected to reach nearly 13 million by 2050. Fortunately, there are several factors that have been associated with a lower risk of developing dementia. In fact, nearly half of all the cases of dementia could be delayed by reduced or by addressing certain factors, according to the 2024 report by the Lancet Commission. Some measures Niotis advises her patients to take is get your hearing screened, manage metabolic risk factors such as cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure. Correct vision impairment. Vision loss is a risk factor for dementia. Exercise increases blood flow and nourishes the brain. Isaacson says, recommending his patients even try a cognitively stimulating activity while exercising, such as taking a meeting while walking or doing cognitive training on a stationary bike. There is also a growing body of research suggesting that shingles vaccine may help protect the brain against cognitive decline. A large 2025 study published in Nature found that people who were vaccinated against shingles were 20% less likely to develop dementia in a 7-year follow-up study than those who did not get the vaccination. Should I start the speed training? The speed training that was used in the study was originally designed by psychologist Carlene Ball and Daniel Roniker using grants from NIH. Based on the results of the trial, Albert said, for now, she would recommend it to patients who are over 65 and have similar to the age group in her study. However, since research has suggested that brain changes associated with Alzheimer's can start decades before the disease takes hold, it's possible that those who start at a younger age, say in their 40s or 50s, may also see a protective effect. It's too early to draw conclusions about the benefits for younger adults, she said. Experts stress that while the results of the trial are impressive, Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia are complicated and there is no singular fix. Anyone with a brain is at risk of Alzheimer's, and everyone out there should be paying attention to their brain health. This article, Brain Train Game May Help Protect Against Dementia for Up to 20 Years, was written by Akshay Sayal, MD. As we come to the close of the program, I'd like to leave you with this quote of the day from Stacey Abrams. Winning doesn't always mean you get the prize. Sometimes you get progress, and that's what counts. Stacey Abrams. I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover interesting and hopefully uplifting stories on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster from Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well. Be happy. Bye-bye.